Hey, everybody. Michael just got an alert. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gygax. I am here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi, everyone.
And we are going to talk about the EL, let me pull up my tablet here, the EL921. This is a manual for management that I didn't know existed. Michael told me about it. He says, did you know that there is a manual that tells management how they're supposed to handle grievances?
Yep.
Man, they've probably never read that one, but I'll read it.
Yeah, I don't think there was a single manager that actually read it.
No, I wouldn't think so. Yeah. And so this is like management's playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, oh, you're popular. It doesn't matter. All right. So anyway, this is management's playbook. If you want to know how they're supposed to handle things. And dude, if management abided by this manual, things would go a lot smoother.
Yes.
Because it talks about like how they have to negotiate in good faith.
So from what Alan is saying is if they don't follow this rule, you can put that violation in saying they're not following the EL 921.
Yeah, I know management tries to make the argument that not all manuals are covered under Article 19. But dude, I'll throw this in there.
They might well say that, but Article 9 is all any handbooks or manuals.
Right, exactly. And so I'm going to throw it in there and make them argue that they don't have to follow.
Why did post of us create one? Because it's actually EL 921. Means there's an actual phone number for it, for the manual.
There is EL 921, Handbook EL 921, Supervisor's Guide to Handling Grievances.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into it. I'm going to skip a little bit of the preamble. And we'll pick up here.
Well, the preamble saying management should follow the grievance process correctly and fairly.
Screw it. You know, in true Classes of Male style, we're going to go ahead and read it.
Okay.
So we'll get through as much as we can today. It's a 50-page document. We're going to try to limit the episode to about a half hour. Here we go. Preface.
50 pages in half an hour?
No. We're going to get through however many pages we can in about a half an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, because I bet there's going to be some discussion.
Yeah.
All right. Preface. The Postal Service, working in conjunction with the national unions, strives to continuously improve the labor management climate by fostering better communication, greater trust, and improved working relationships at all levels of the organization. Yeah,
what
sure. They
isn't this what I just said?
It is. The four largest unions in the Postal Service are the National Association of Letter Carriers, American Postal Workers Union, National Rural Letter Carriers Association, and National Postal Mail Handlers Union. Handbook EL 921, Supervisor's Guide to Handling Grievances, is a labor relations initiative to help field supervisors become familiar with the Postal Service's grievance procedures. The material in this booklet is intended to serve only as broad guidelines and should not be cited as the authority. It is provided to assist in handling grievances, disciplinary actions, and other contractual matters. The guidelines are not requirements that must be strictly complied with or blindly followed, and no employee rights or management obligations are established by this guidance. Okay, so this is their way of trying to say, like, hey, just because it's in here doesn't mean we have to do it. But again, I'll cite it and make them fight it.
Well, let them read it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they read it, maybe they can use that.
You know, but from until being they a steward, read it. Yeah. Part of being a steward is educating management.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, management probably doesn't know this exists either. Refer to the appropriate source document, e.g. Article 15 of Collective Bargaining Agreements, Contract Administration Manuals, as the authoritative reference when referencing contractual requirements. That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
The there are multiple steps in the grievance process. Step 1, informal step A. Step 2, formal step A. Step 3, step B. Step 4, interpretive step. And arbitration. This guide focuses on step 1, informal step A, and step 2, formal step A processes. For information about the other steps in the grievance process, refer to Article 15 of the National Agreements, the Joint Contract Administration Manuals where appropriate, and your district labor relations office.
So this is for local.
Yeah, right. This is what your supervisor should be reading.
Yep,
exactly. This guide does not provide information or advice for managers on how to resolve specific grievances. Sound decisions on grievances and corrective discipline require an understanding of the facts and circumstances, as well as an understanding of the process. Dude, the facts and circumstances, that seems to be the problem. That's what management really struggles with. Okay, as a Postal Service supervisor, you are encouraged to read and understand the applicable contracts that cover your employees and your facility. Oh, that's the other part they struggle with. Never assume anything. Know the facts and seek advice when questions arise concerning how to resolve contractual issues and apply appropriate remedies when a contractual violation is established. By working out problems before they become grievances and by resolving grievances at the lowest possible step, you can make an important contribution to the overall improvement of labor management relations that will favorably impact all facets of our organization. So right here, we already have this guy talking about resolving grievances at the lowest level. Yeah, and all around the country, management is flatly refusing to
settle
do that.
At the lowest level.
That is exactly right.
Except for you today.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, dude, I got him. You know, I got... All right, so I'm going to skip past the table of contents because we're going to cover all this stuff anyway. Joint contract manuals. The Postal Service worked closely with three of our unions to develop joint manuals on contract administration. Let me try this again. The Postal Service worked closely with three of our unions to develop joint manuals on contract application. The Joint Contract Administration Manual with the NALC, the Joint Contract Interpretation Manual with the APWU, and the Contract Interpretation Manual with the NPMHU. These contract administration manuals reflect mutual agreements on the interpretation of significant portions of the respective national agreements. They are to be used as a management and union reference when dealing with grievances at all levels of the grievance procedure. Their use will help 1. Resolve most disputes in the initial grievance steps based on nationally agreed contract interpretations. Dude, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, that is what the JCAM is for, so that you and the supervisor can both look at it and be like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have mandated that carrier. 2. Avoid disputes when used to make decisions, e.g. scheduled overtime. Yeah, that's right. And this is where, like, I will make an effort. If I see that management is going to have a violation, if they're about to violate the contract, I bring it to their attention. Because A, I'm hoping that they just don't violate the contract. But B, if they still violate it, now it is a willful violation of the contract. The JCAM and the other manuals are available in two formats, printed and online, and are expected to be routinely used by field personnel. All right, now we get into the nuts and bolts. You ready?
Wait. Yep. It says the JCAM?
Yeah, it says the other ones too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just skipped that.
Does that sound like they're supposed to have it with them at all times?
Yeah, there's supposed to be one at the station for you to refer to, for management to refer. I've seen the one at my station that my supervisor has.
I haven't seen one at my station.
Oh, dude, yeah, my boss doesn't have one.
I asked them, do you have a copy? They're like, no.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
how are you supposed to know what's in the JCAM if you don't have one?
I mean, and so that's, you throw that into your Article 15 grievance, or you're 17, or, you know, whatever, 31. Is that what they are? The main...
Well, 1731
there
is...
There you go. Like when they're not cooperating.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, not cooperating and not following...
right.
Heading out information. And so
Right. So speaking of which, request for information. NALC, I'm going to skip when it mentions the other unions. I'm just going to skip it because there's too many letters.
There's stuff in there for rural and
clerks.
We don't need to.
Yeah,
to go
and like many of these, it's the same provision in every contract.
Yeah.
So NALC Article 31.3 states in part, the employer will make available for inspection by the union all relevant information necessary for the enforcement, administration, or interpretation of this agreement. The employer may require the union to reimburse the USPS for any costs reasonably incurred. If the request for information is a local matter, it should be handled at the local level. However, the RFI, request for information, is not for a purely local... If the RFI is not for a purely local matter, it should be handled by the parties at the national or headquarters level. Contact your district labor relations office for clarification if you receive an RFI that you believe to be other than a local matter.
That will be like information the post inspector.
Right.
That will be requesting for some other stuff that could be legal.
Yeah.
Matter.
Right.
That's...
It could also be like on aid arbitration, Corey talks about following the grievance all the way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, for example, the discipline that I was issued recently for my attendance, my station manager was open about it being a mandate from her boss, you know, from people above her in labor. So if I wanted to press the issue, all right, well, I want to interview that person, or I want the request for information for where they're getting the policy.
So if you did an interview on one of the managers,
right,
and they said, oh, I got instruction from my district manager,
right,
then you have the right to, interview the district manager.
Too. Right, yeah. Exactly. And to request the information from them of what policy they're working off of. Mm-hmm. Or like, again, Corey has talked about the scanner messages that we get from corporate communications. All right, well, I want the information on, you know, where these are coming from, or how this is determined, or what the messages have been for the last 2 months, or, you know, whatever. All that might be above. So moving on, Article 31.3 means the following. The union has a right to ask the supervisor for information directly relating to the handling of a grievance or potential grievance. Generally, you must provide the union with the information that is requested if it is relevant. All right.
Okay, I like the word must provide.
Yeah, it does say must. Yeah, generally you must. And there's a footnote here. I'm going to go down to the footnote. It says there are limited exceptions to the union's right for information, e.g. certain contracting information that is of a proprietary nature, some injury compensation records. So, you know, management will try to deny information requests if they don't feel that it's relevant. But these examples of like, okay, what's our contract with Amazon? Yeah, I get it. You know, they don't necessarily have to give me a steward that information. But again, generally they have to provide it.
Mm-hmm.
So going on, you must provide, you must, there's that key word again, must respond and provide the relevant information in a timely manner. If
so, here's the thing.
Yeah.
When it says timely matter.
Yeah.
Okay. In the our JCAM, usually says within.
Like by end of tour.
Yeah.
Or, okay. Yeah, I don't know if there's a time specifically in the JCAM, but yeah, generally.
Unless management provides information, they are not able to give it to you in that end of time.
Well, they talk about that here. Okay. If there is a delay, provide the union with written notice indicating when they can expect the information will be provided. Dude, I had this problem when we got a new station manager and she didn't have access to like the overtime, the stuff that I needed for Article 8 grievances. Like, she couldn't access it. And I had to keep waiting on it. And, dude, it's not okay. You figure out a way to get me that information.
Yeah.
Next, make...
I do it is I request each day.
Oh, yeah. Just keep putting in requests so that you have all of these unfulfilled
requests. So that you have... So you have proof that you requested it. You were the one who was being nice by requesting it three times.
Right. Yeah. I started doing that, putting on second request, third request. Yep. By the time it gets to third request, they start to notice. Yeah,
it looks bad.
It does.
Because they know you can use that against them.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Make copies and keep the originals of any information provided to the union. All supervisors and managers must cooperate with a union request to interview a supervisor or manager.
When relevant.
Yeah. Where relevant. And yeah, that's that word must. Mm-hmm. And guys, it can be extremely satisfying to interview supervisors and to ask them the tough questions. Like to ask them directly, do you believe that Michael is abusing his sick leave? And, you know, you put him on the spot. I love putting him on the spot.
Well, they usually respond, oh, yes, that's why he issued the discipline.
That hasn't been my experience, actually. They'll usually try to dodge it, or they won't say that they think that you're abusing it.
No, you got to ask it a different way.
Uh-huh.
Why and what evidence do you have to issue the discipline?
Yeah, that's a good call. Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep. All right. Failure to provide relevant information can result in serious consequences and negative outcomes. Yeah, it certainly can. But that's up to the union to press for those.
But it's also an NLRB violation.
Oh, yeah, sure. When in doubt, contact your district labor relations office. All right. So that's the request for information. Now we move on to grievance basics. Grievance overview. The collective bargaining agreements address wages, hours of work, overtime, and other terms and conditions of employment for bargaining unit employees. Parts of some handbooks, manuals, and published regulations also contain material that directly relates to wages, hours, or working conditions of bargaining unit employees. Material in handbooks, manuals, and published regulations cannot contain anything that conflicts with the agreements. That's good. As management conducts its business, there is always the possibility that an employee and or the unions may believe that a violation of their respective agreement has occurred. Yeah, you don't say. While problems are best resolved before they become grievances, supervisors must know how to handle grievances quickly and correctly when they do arise. Due process rights, time limits, and union rights are a few examples of contractual requirements that a supervisor may violate if he or she is unfamiliar with the grievance process. Grievance handling. Employees and or the unions have the right to file grievances if they believe the collective bargaining agreement has been violated. You must be in a position to respond properly should a grievance arise. To do so, use the following guidelines in handling grievances. Know the grievance procedure for the specific union involved. All right.
So basically this says that management should know how to file grievances before they actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their discipline, I mean.
Right, right. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Next, take each grievance seriously. Investigate the grievance looking for relevant facts. Find out the who, what, when, where, why, and how. Ensure time limits and procedural requirements have been observed. I think that would be true on both sides.
That's the has the full investigation been done.
Right.
That's
yeah. For me, is. The procedural requirements is right. Did mm-hmm. management do their job before issuing discipline? Mm-hmm. For management, it would be, did I follow the contract in my grievance? Did I file it within 14 days? All kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Extensions may be achieved through mutual consent of both parties, as explained in time limits on page 8. Make sure the employee and or the union has presented the full story. Identified and explained the exact nature of the alleged violation, including specific contract, manual, and or handbook provisions. Stated the precise remedy that is sought. Do not interrupt. Do not be argumentative or adversarial. Michael, have you ever had a grievance meetings that have gotten argumentative or adversarial?
Yes. Many times.
Yeah. Fully document the grievance discussion, including any evidence and or documents provided by the union. Use the following forms to document grievance meetings. PS Form 2608, Grievance Summary Step 1, or PS Form 2609, Grievance Summary Step 2. Oh, those are for APW and National Postal Mail.
Yeah, we can skip that.
Okay, yeah. It put that at the end, so I didn't know it was coming. Yeah. But PS Form 8190 is the one they use for the NALC.
Yes. Yep.
Settlement attempts should be explored at each level in the grievance process.
Dude. How hard is it to like try to get a settlement at the lowest level? They're all scared of the upper manager when they feel like they didn't sell that correctly.
That is correct. Yeah, they're often afraid to make settlements, mm-hmm. and they say, I don't have the authority to make the settlement, even though the JCAM specifically says that they have the authority to settle this grievance. Mm-hmm. Be fair and reasonable.
Well, maybe because they're so incompetent that the upper management has to accept
it. I'm sure that doesn't help. Yeah. Be fair and reasonable. If you do not have the answer, advise the union steward or representative that you will get back to him or her and then seek assistance from higher-level management when appropriate in developing a response. Use resources including district labor relations specialists, the national agreement, the appropriate contract application manuals, and relevant handbooks, manuals, or published regulations. A list of some key handbooks and manuals is included at the end of this guide. Next, time limits. The time limit, how are we doing? Oh, 19 minutes. All right. The time limit for each step of the grievance process is the maximum amount of time to be used, not the length of time you are expected to take to reach your decision. You should expedite your decision, but not at the expense of sound judgment. Time limits are an integral part of the grievance process and must be taken seriously. If you fail to meet a time limit, the union has the right to appeal the grievance to the next step without your input. And, of course, we should be doing that.
And we haven't.
Yeah. I mean, look at how...
We're being so nice to management. Okay?
Right.
Because from what I hear from the Formal A...
Formal A in our branch particularly. Yeah.
Is that they'll talk about it and to work on a settlement.
Right.
And it doesn't get resolved. They'll want to send it up. And they give the manager like a day or two to put together to set it up. They're supposed to be prepared.
Yeah, and it's 7 days. Mm-hmm. Formally, 7 days.
Unless they do the same thing of extension and so
forth. Right. Okay? But yeah.
But again, if you go into for a settlement, even in Formal A, mm-hmm. and if you come to a agreement, sure, then you're done and over with. But if you don't come to the agreement, it's going to send it to the next level.
Yeah.
they supposed to have all that paperwork ready so you can send it all at once together.
Right. Yeah. Right. Management should come to the meeting prepared. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll talk about that in here.
Yes.
Okay. And this is why reading stuff like this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Next, conversely, if the union fails to meet a time limit, you are still required to schedule and meet with the union. It is important that you document the untimeliness of the union in the grievance file and record any explanation the union gives for being untimely.
So that sounds like you don't withdraw the grievance because it expired.
Right. And
you still do the grievance.
Yeah. And I have seen, you know, in a case of credit to the folks at the hall, where there have been untimely grievances that we've still won or mm-hmm. we've gotten a settlement on because the case was so clear cut or, you know, whatever the reason may be,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are certainly times where cooperation with management can be beneficial, where being willing to be reasonable. Okay. Time limits vary by union and step of the grievance process. These limits can be extended by mutual agreement, meaning that both parties must agree to the extension. If an extension is agreed to, it should be specific, documented, and included in the grievance file.
The extension is mutually agreed upon.
Yeah.
Okay. So if management wants extension, but you don't want to wait, don't
wait. Yeah,
you
don't have to. That's right. You don't have to grant it mm-hmm. to them. Extension should only be requested and or agreed to when necessary. All right, and then we get down to NALC, informal step A. The employee and or the union have up to 14 days to file a grievance from the date the employee or the union first learns of or is reasonably expected to learn of the alleged violation. Now, 14 days starts with counting the next day. So if it happened on Wednesday, then you start counting on Thursday and you have till the next Thursday and the one after
if
that.
If it's on the 1st, then you have 14 days after
right,
that,
to the
which
15th.
Is the 15th.
Right. And you can make sense of it by saying, like, if it happened on the 1st and you had one day to do your grievance, mm-hmm. it would be the next day.
Yeah, even
right?
though you got 14 days, I wouldn't wait that long. Get
no,
it done as soon as possible.
Because if you're up against the limit, yeah, bad things happen.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So, all right. So 14 days. Once the grievance has been filed, the immediate supervisor and the employee and or union meet to discuss the grievance and possible resolution. The supervisor is required to render a verbal decision at the meeting unless parties agree to any extension.
It's the supervisor, right?
Yeah.
Not station manager, not the postmaster.
Right.
It's the supervisor,
it
right?
Does.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Because supervisor is at the lowest level.
Right. That is the informal level. You meet with your mm-hmm. supervisor. Yep. That's it. And it says so even in their manual.
Mm-hmm.
Formal step A. The union has 7 days to appeal an informal step A decision to formal step A. After the appeal is received, the installation head or formal step A designee has 7 days to schedule and meet with the union. At the meeting, both parties are required to make a full and detailed statement of the facts and contractual provisions relied upon and the remedy sought. The formal step A decision is required to be made the day of the meeting, unless the parties agree to an extension. If the parties are unable to resolve the grievance, the union can submit written additions and corrections to the formal Step A record with the appeal to Step B. A copy of the additions and corrections must be sent to the management formal Step A designee. Management's formal Step A designee may respond to the union's additions and corrections by sending additional information directly related to the additions and corrections to the Step B team, provided that it is received prior to the Step B decision. A copy of the response must be sent to the union's formal A representative.
So formal A is supposed to add or correct
right.
to what the steward did.
Right. What happened to informal.
Not doing the whole thing.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So this is where I was had an issue at our branch meeting because our vice president have told stewards to not do contentions. Okay. Well, technically, you're supposed to have everything ready for the formal A, so that all they had to do is correct or add anything else that needed to be added, not redoing the whole contentions, okay?
Sure.
Because there was no contentions in the file. And that is where I know for a fact that they had got to do it because it has to be ready to be go to the formal A because they technically have only 7 days.
Right, right. Okay? They can't be doing all the legwork right. when you have 14 at informal.
Exactly. Yeah. So the whole thing, I believe, is... because we got so many formal A stewards down at the hall they just want to do all the work and to take time off from carrying the mail.
Right, because it beats putting mail in the box.
Exactly, especially in middle of July in 120 degree weather.
You know, okay? Yeah, I hear you.
And so I can see why our VP is telling the stewards to not do them so that the Formula A can do it.
Right.
So they can take more time off.
Work I have to do. Right.
Instead of actually doing the process correctly.
Yeah, maybe. I can't speak to that.
Yeah. But this is my opinion
it's
and what they're doing. Speculation.
Right. Speculation.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's what it feels like when they're telling the stewards to not do the contentions.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I try to send up, you know, when I send up a file, if it's going to be appealed to the next level, mm-hmm. I'm going to put my argument.
Oh, you know what the funny thing is?
Yeah.
Is that when I did some of the grievances, our VP decides to go through my grievance. It was fine tooth and comb and then tries to tell all the carriers what I did wrong.
Well, you should do better,
Michael. But here's the thing. But that's her job. She's at the Formula A. She's supposed to do additions and corrections.
Right, right.
Okay? So she needs to do her job and not try to blame it on somebody and try to defame this person who's trying to do the job, right? Oh, wait.
Michael.
I know. There's a lot more things I can say, but I'm not going to continue.
All right, we got another section to get through, and then I think we'll probably wrap it up.
Okay.
Information sharing and documentation. Both the unions and Postal Service are required to develop the facts and exchange all documents relevant to the grievance. Neither party should withhold relevant documents with the expectation that they can be added to the grievance file at a later time. Relevant information could include any official records, statements, or previous disciplinary actions that are related to the grievance issue. Generally, the union bears the burden of proof in grievances regarding alleged contractual violations. However, the Postal Service is still responsible to defend its position, and the best support is through documentation that establishes that the collective bargaining agreement was not violated.
That's under contractual. We have to prove.
Right, right. Typically, the Postal Service bears the burden of proof in grievances regarding disciplinary mm-hmm. actions. There
it's
you go.
The
That's
post
the
office
other side.
Job.
Right.
Yeah.
The gathering of documentation should begin before the discipline is initiated. You must be able to explain, verbally and or through appropriate documentation, why the action taken was for just cause.
You mean stuff like when I'm interviewing supervisors and they don't remember anything?
Right.
Maybe because they didn't do any of it.
The principles of just cause are explained in the discipline section of this guide. All right, and that's going to go ahead and end it for now.
Well, just to talk just a little bit.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so management, like they're, just like I said, they, you know, you can go at them and say, hey, you know, I'm doing the interview and they find out that they'd like to use the answer, I don't know, I don't remember.
Sure.
Okay. Especially for stewards who's done interviews on management. But you can use that against them. Why? Because if a supervisor don't know what they're doing, why are they a supervisor? Why are they issuing discipline?
Well, certainly for a discipline case, mm-hmm. yeah, you better have damn
good
reasons.
Because on this, it says they need to be fully knowledgeable to issue discipline, right?
Right.
So when the answer is they don't know or I don't remember and so forth,
right.
That means they don't know how to do a discipline.
They're not meeting their obligation.
And so therefore that they should not be doing discipline.
I can't argue with that.
And that's something you can add as contentions on whatever grievance that you're filing, especially on discipline, that they're not supposed to be doing that.
There
because they
go.
Don't know what they're doing.
I like okay? it.
You can also ask, now that I can remember, is you can also ask, do you know what a EL-921 is?
Right. Yeah, just like they ask us, mm-hmm. are you aware of this provision?
Yeah, do you know what an EL-921 is? If they said no.
Now, I've heard.
Then how do you know how to file discipline?
I have heard a different school of thought on that, mm-hmm. which is don't ever ask management about provisions because it's simply their requirement to know all the provisions.
Mm-hmm.
And if they violate a provision, that's on them. We don't give them getting off the hook by them not being aware of it.
But what do you always say, Alan?
Tell me.
You always say that we should get management more knowledgeable and what
they
have.
Oh, yeah, sure. We should. Oh, dude, yeah. I will tell.
Okay.
I'll tell them that. But like in the interview, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to give them an out.
Right.
Right. I like the idea. Now, there's schools of thought on this, mm-hmm. right? It's not set in stone, but I like the idea of management should know everything in this EL-921. Mm-hmm. And if they don't know any part of it, it's on them.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to act as if they know what they're that they know what the right thing is and they're just not
so
doing
it. So when you interview saying, hey, did you know what 921 is? And their answer is, I don't know what that is.
Sure.
Then they don't even know how to do their job.
You. Right. And so you can make the prima facie case
in your contention,
that they're not.
That they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, that's going to do us for today. I am definitely going to read the rest of this manual, maybe with Michael, maybe without. He lives far. How long did it take you to drive here today? Like 45 minutes?
About 50 minutes.
Though. Oh, dude, that's so...
The traffic was moving at like 20 miles an hour.
Dude, that sucks. Well, at least it won't be too bad, as bad when you drive back across town, but it's still a long drive.
I'm missing the Broncos game right now.
Yeah, dude. All right, so let's wrap this up and get back to the Broncos game. I'm sure they're beating the crap out of the Las Vegas Raiders,
it's
who
tied
are
at
terrible.
Seven.
Oh, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. All right, so, Michael, thank you very much for coming by.
Yeah,
great
insights, you know, maybe we can
always
read the rest next time we get together.
Yeah,
you know?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I really like having your additional insight on the grievance handling process. So we'll see. Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming by. Everybody, thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you all next time.